sexy, spooky bones.
And welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am John.
Neat. Well, Johnny.
I was just talking about how, like, the H isn't silent. It's still there. So people just think I'm not saying my name right. I'm going, oh, my name is John.
John.
Like, why'd you say it that way? Because it's the way it's pronounced. John. Johnny.
No E. No Y?
No, it's actually spelled K N E E. It's J O H N K N E E.
Oh, yeah, that makes it. Triple E. No shit. I had no idea. And welcome to the show. This week we will review Perpetrator. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we go do a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner. Or should we just call it Chucky's Corner? That's pretty much all Chucky's, we've done this year.
We should call it, something that's related to maybe children and toys. Child's Play.
That'll never work.
The Child's Play.
No. Try again. Too obvious.
Okay. 1600 murder at 16. I don't know. I got nothing.
Okay, we can do. I'm gonna change. I'm gonna be Chucky's Corner.
Chucky.
We're basically a Chucky podcast at this point.
And you're saying Chucky's Corner. You're not saying possessive. It's not a corner that belongs to Chucky. It's a corner with a bunch of Chuckies.
Yes. Chucky Corner. Yes.
Chucky's Corner. Yeah, yeah.
This will be start of season 3, episode 1, titled Murder at 1600. Okay, we made it. We're in season 3 now. So
yeah, wild. I'm just going to go straight to spoiling the ending. He's in the White House. I didn't know that.
So somehow, we don't know what Chucky this is. What we were led to believe is that it's that there's only one, there's only Prime Chucky, but that might not be true because there's a couple factors to that, right? The little sister's nowhere to be seen or around.
Yeah. So Caroline.
Yep, she's missing, and so it's safe to assume until there's like confirmation, this we can assume this could be another Chucky or it could be Chucky Prime.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't know if... I feel like Chucky Prime... Oh, yeah, I guess we won't know until we see what happened to Jennifer Tilly and... Nudget, or Tiffany, I should say, and Caroline. Which I have a feeling they're both playing a role in something now.
Hmm. So, pretty much...
Has nothing to do with thumbnails that keep...
So, like John said, this is about the first family... And we have Devon Sawa playing the president and his family, and the son who has a Chucky. And primarily we kind of just deal with this new family before we get back to the kids and see how they tie to the overall plot. Not my favorite episode, only because it just doesn't seem believable that the...
No, yeah. Something just a little too... Not my favorite. And also, am I tripping, or the guy that plays is... what's his name? The guy that plays Nathan Cross, yes, was Lexi's dad in the first season, right? Am I wrong in that?
He was, yes.
Because I just saw that he was also in Cult of Chucky. He has a different character as well.
Right. And
and the only reason I recognized that was, I'm sure he's a fantastic actor. I don't really remember him, but I was like, that's not Victor Garber.
He has a Victor Garber look. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, I was like, not, I think, I'm totally, like, Chucky's one of those shows where you have to, you get to suspend your disbelief, and there's like a lot, they're usually very fun, you know? I'm just, don't, this might be, in my opinion so far, setting in the White House, maybe a stretch too far.
Yeah.
Only because it's just unbelievable that, like in this episode, there's just unbelievable things that would happen, like at the White House. Like,
muscle, perfect opportunity for him just like, you know what? I need to take a break from these kids. I've spent 3 years at this point, I think, like trying to stop them. I'm going to go to the Bahamas and kill people there for a year. Whatever. And then you shoot the season in, like, I don't know, Puerto Rico or something.
Yeah. You fucking have the kids go on vacation, and then it's a slasher movie in fucking Bahamas. That sounds great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which sounds an awful lot like, God, I feel like there's another series or something where, like, somebody's trying to get away from this, like, bad guy, and the bad guy ends up being there too, and they're like, what the fuck? Like, it's just kept going.
Yeah.
Let us know in the comments below. yes.
So, like, yeah, like, there's no way that the power would go out, that there wouldn't be camera footage of the power going out. There wouldn't be, like, constant surveillance in the office where the Chucky's, like, moving around. And that there's also, I believe, the Secret Service officer who was Chucky murdered. There's no way that that would have ever happened the way it happened.
Oh, yeah. He got him to shoot himself in the head.
Yeah. Like, all of that stuff just seems unbelievable. Unfucking believable. Like, I just can't. Which, I don't know if it's me because I've romanticized it to the White House. So I don't, you know, I mean, anything's possible, right? We did have Trump in the office or whatever. He did historically unpresidential things there.
Oh. Opinions. That just got us canceled. Sorry. All of our listeners were right wing, and now we lost them. Not the West Wing. There you go. Great show. That they should remake and have Chucky in there now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I wasn't super stoked on the story. It is fun to see Devon Sawa back again, but I don't know.
Yeah, I do appreciate him always coming back.
I do now am on board with you, and I'm like, they didn't have to bring the kids back, but they're back.
I just feel like, what else are they going to mine out of these kids? I mean, to me, last season's ending with them all standing together with all of the other leads of the other movies and TV series.
Yeah.
And them killing a Chucky. I was like, oh, that's a perfect write-off, send-off for the show, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I was like, boom, that's perfect. Don't have to see these kids anymore. Maybe just keep one of them. I don't know. Maybe keep Lexi. Or even Devin, and maybe cut out Jake. Jake's like the weak link.
He's had his story arc. He's gone.
He's like.
I mean, also because they wrote off Glenn Glenda very quickly, and they were a fucking fun addition to the show. And I'm like, okay,
yeah,
I guess they're gone now.
Yeah. Though they're still around, though. Technically, they could still pop up in future episodes.
That's true, but I think they are in London currently.
Yes.
Or somewhere in Europe. But what do we get? We get a random cut to Jake, and he's talking about his artwork. Now he's making the creepy doll statues again. And that's all he's pushing. Then it cuts to Devin, and Devin is now podcasting again. Hopefully not reluctantly. And basically trying to point out that there is a killer doll on the loose. And then they cut to Lexi, who is quote-unquote making thirst trap TikTok videos or something. Or I forgot what they called it in the show.
Right.
which I thought was like funny. Like, if this will get me closer to my sister, blah blah blah. I'm like, this is a weird move on the writer's part, but okay. And on top of all this, I'm pretty sure Jake's gonna leave Devin.
Yeah.
Because normally people don't work out that much to get that jacked for any just whatever.
I wonder if anybody's going to even mention it, but like Jake got some fucking serious muscle weight.
Yeah.
Fucking bulked up.
Well, you saw they're doing the sex scene, and I'm like, I hope this is consensual for Barbara, because it looks like Jake's pinning him down.
That's true. Yeah.
Unfortunately, the actor, what's the actor's name? Devin's real name?
Zachary Arthur. Devin. That's the other one. Jake. That's Jake.
What is it? Bjørgvin Arneson?
Sure.
I don't think he ever got taller. I think he stayed short.
Yeah.
Oh, and just as I click on his thing to see his height, it's saying he's 5'6 and a half. And he wears 3-inch shoe lifts to keep up with the Zachary's height in Chucky.
Yeah, dude's like,
hey, President Trump wears lifts. It's okay, right?
was it? So like they are the three here are called by Chucky, basically taunting them to be like, hey, guess where I'm at or whatever, and then they find out after the murder of this Secret Service guy, they see Chucky.
Which, by the way, the number one thing I had with that scene was like, kids, change your fucking numbers. What are you doing? Right? Because Chucky remembered their number.
Like, yeah, that's true.
Just change your number. Maybe move out of Hackensack. I don't know. It's just the thought.
Like, good point. Yeah. I mean, I guess at this point, they're like, they could move out anywhere, but they're all living together with a teacher. It's become their surrogate mom, right?
Yes. What's her name? Annie Briggs.
Right.
Which, by her IMDb profile thing, I keep thinking she's what's her face from It.
Jessica Chastain.
No, the young girl.
There's only one girl.
Jessica Chastain, yes, but the younger version.
Yeah. The redhead. They're the redhead.
But no, Annie Briggs is much older.
Yeah.
I don't know. So yeah, she's there. She's trying her best to teach these kids.
Yeah, I just feel like I didn't really get a sense of this new family that we spent so much time on this episode. Didn't really care for any of them. None of them really stood out either. Like the little kid that has the Chucky, or the teenage son.
Even the mom, like the
mom was kind of boring. I mean, the only thing really, honestly, truly, like the only cool thing is that they have Devin Sawa back playing a character in the show. So,
yeah, actually, the only other remotely interesting character in that section of the story was the Secret Service guy who Chucky made look like he shot himself. I was like, okay, this guy would be cool.
Yeah,
but I guess that was also set up to be like he's about to die.
Right. Yeah. So. My guess, without any prior knowledge, is because that teenage boy is more their age. I'm assuming she's either going to try to hit on Jake or Lexi. That's their way into the White House. Either he's hot for Jake and they start a... that whole breaking up the relationship, or...
They should have made him like he's a beefcake too, and then Devin's like insecure about the whole thing. And
yeah,
I would forgive that. We keep forgetting about Chucky if that becomes the show. It's just like,
yeah, or
like a dramatic like OC or something like.
Or like the more boring safe way to do it is if like he has a crush on Lexi or something. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
I'm assuming that's how they get in, right? That's how they're going to get into the White House with fucking. That teenage son.
I would assume so.
Even though these, even though, like I've been saying, the three leads here all look like adults. They're all adult looking now. Can't hide it anymore.
They definitely aged dramatically in the last season. Even like between the second to last episode and the last episode, they seem to like age dramatically.
Right. Yeah. And that's really it. I mean, there's not much else to really talk about. I was slightly turned off by the setup for this show, this season.
Yeah, me too. Speaking of getting slightly turned off by the setup, every once in a while, I can hear like my upstairs neighbors. Yeah, he's doing stuff, but I swear I heard, I don't know if it's who it is, but they ripped one and then they continue to do like some sort of work up there. Anyway, that's a little free little taste of our Patreon that you get all the extra bits.
To describe where John lives, it's kind of like Melrose Place. That's how you would describe it.
Exactly. except everybody's gassy, so they're ripping ones and like continue to work and pushing what I can only assume is refrigerators at like 1 a.m. around the apartment.
Makes sense.
Yeah, like, you know, they got to do what they got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this episode, unfortunately, I got to say it was a little lackluster for me.
I'm a little disappointed. I wasn't excited with the characters. I did hear that, actually. But
okay.
You're not hearing things.
Doing.
Yeah.
Which is a feat, right? Because my microphone's picking it up, which I have it set up to where you can't really hear anything outside of me talking most of the time.
Right.
And I'm wearing headphones that cover up most of my ear. So for me to hear that is somehow more exciting than this one episode.
It's definitely like Amanda and Billy are fighting upstairs while Allison is hearing those characters from Melrose Place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was going to say it sounds more like a Jake, Lexi, and Devin are trying to hide a dead body.
Yeah.
But the president's teenage son has a crush on any one of them.
I'm curious about which one they're actually going to have a crush on. It's probably going to be Lexi. That's the safe way to write that.
I'm almost going to guess that they're just going to be like, make him their friend. Like, it just, because he seems like a lonely guy,
oh,
too.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, like, make him a part of the group, like they did with what's her face? Oh, I forgot her name already.
Yes, the redhead girl. Yeah.
Curly headed girl. Yeah.
All right. We'll continue.
We're going to, yeah.
Hopefully it picks up.
You know, it was entertaining for a little bit. It was fine.
It was just, like, this show's always okay. It's never, like, terribly awful, unwatchable. It's just okay. Okay. Let's move over to our main review of Perpetrator. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please. Which is funny because perpetrator is spelled like per-pet-rator, which I'm sure means something.
Means you like fantasy, or?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly what it means. Okay, let me get this right. You know, I didn't see the, you know, we try not to look at the ratings of these movies when we're watching them. And this is the first time I actually saw the rating of the movie in IMDb. Okay, for Jennifer Reeder.
Well, I don't agree with that.
Perpetrator.
But go ahead. That's good.
I don't completely agree with it, but there's something there to that.
It's okay. Go ahead.
Coming in at number 3 for Perpetrator, young woman finds her personality.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Coming in at number 2 for Perpetrator, girl gets the lucky syndrome. Call back to a movie we reviewed before, except it's all the men that have transforming faces.
Yeah. Okay. I liked Lucky, right? I think I liked it more than you.
I think you liked it more than I did.
Okay.
And then I think we literally saw a movie before that that was almost the same thing.
Sounds like us.
Yeah. Just get ready for next week.
Yeah.
All right. And coming in at number one for Perpetrator, Just Eat the Bloody Cake.
Yeah. So Perpetrator, directed by Jennifer Reeder. John, what are your first thoughts? How much? I have a feeling you're going to hate this movie.
I didn't know. I didn't hate it. I liked it. It's just kind of like, you ever watch fantasy movies? And you? No, I'm not a fan.
Never seen one.
No, I like. I liked it until the last act felt real rushed, and then there was a lot of things where I'm like, well, "What happened here?"
Okay, I would say the opposite. I would say this movie has a rough start. There's so much random shit going on. I could not track what it was. It was telling me, and yeah, and then once I would say the last hour of the movie's like much more coherent, because there's definitely like you kind of know where the story's going now, you know, because.
Yeah, but I did at around the last, 30 minutes or maybe the last like 20, between 25 and 30 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't understand. I felt like there was a lot of just assume this happened. And I was like, okay. Or like, just assume this is something, this is an ability. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I would put it, I agree with you. The way I saw it was like, there's a bit of a mystery to what's going on without spoiling anything. There's like a bit of a mystery, but it's literally just think of the most logical explanation and that's the answer. That's the answer of the movie. There's really not much else.
It seemed pretty obvious who the antagonists were going to be.
Yes.
I felt like there wasn't really any covering that. And if they were trying, they weren't doing a very good job.
Right.
But I kind of didn't want that to be like a big connected reveal. I was kind of hoping for something else at the end, I think.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's kind of a failure of the storytelling was the way they positioned the movie, the way they kind of set up what the thing is about the latter half of it is kind of like pretty obvious. Like it was no...
Yeah. It was a little boring. Like, not boring. Not to watch, but just what happened. Like, if I read it on a script, I'd be like, okay.
Right. Yeah.
And also, I did not like the ending. Ending. Like,
yeah.
The when credits are rolling, I was like, this, okay.
I will give this movie a compliment. Because I think we're probably both going to be mixed on it. Right?
Yeah.
But I will say that
Alicia Silverstone was fucking fantastic. Fantastic and everything.
We'll get there. But I feel like Jennifer Reeder, the movie feels a little bit like a attempt at a Cronenberg movie.
I can feel that, yeah.
You know, the horror science fiction element here with the main protagonist and her having like a power. And then there's like some body horror involved. With the antagonist of the movie and stuff like that. So
with the butthole vaginas.
The butthole vaginas. Yes. yeah. So that, I thought like, okay, cool. That's interesting. Because Jennifer Reeder that's interesting that she's trying to like crib from Cronenberg, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I can totally see that. I feel that with the movie.
Just execution. Execution's not a little clunky, especially the way they start the movie and stuff. It's dissatisfying.
Yeah. I think, just trying to make her feel disjointed from her reality, kind of, right? Like she's on her own because it's just about, you know, essentially this. It kind of feels at its core it's a coming of age movie about this young woman who's about to turn 18.
Right. And when she does, she like, this is not a spoiler, but like she like gets a power or some shit sometime.
I mean, you could spoil that for me because I could not. I was joking. It was vampires.
I thought it was vampires. We saw it. We saw the trailer. We're like, oh, okay. This looks like vampires. Like she goes to high school with vampires. That's kind of what we thought it was.
So, and that can't be a spoiler because that seems to be the selling point of the trailer, right?
Yeah.
And I'm still now like, are they skinwalkers? Are they witches? Are they demons?
Yes,
but they don't seem like bad people. I don't know.
Yes, to all of the above. It's very undefined what the thing is. It looks like her. Was it her dad? Would you characterize the
which one?
The like before the main lead has a dad she's living with before she's sent to.
Oh yeah, that ends up being somebody else important later.
Right.
The dad basically, or yes, it is her dad, but not her real dad.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if she even knows that. I don't know if she just thinks like it's her dad or like, I don't know. She's only aware she doesn't know who her mom is.
Right, and that essentially the dad is suffering from a condition where he like has warping face or something. His face is warping in the mirror.
Well, I mean, that seems to be a lot of people.
But and then like she is sent to a friend's house, or at least Silverstone's house.
Who ends up, you know what, I don't know if these people are related or not. I couldn't really follow that at the end. It's like once there was like this big reveal, I was like, okay.
Yeah. My guess is that at least Silverstone was supposed to play this hard ass mentor.
Yeah.
But
she didn't get enough screen time.
Yeah, it just kind of seems like they only had maybe 2 days with her. They just shot all her stuff.
Yeah, it really does feel that way, yeah.
Because like she's kind of feels slightly her... like she feels like almost apart from the rest of the movie. It seems like Oliver Stone's in a completely different movie than the second whatever else that this other character, Johnny, is in.
That is a fair point. I feel like when Alicia Silverstone came on screen and started talking and started explaining things, that's when I was a little more into the movie.
Right.
I was like, oh shit, okay, this is interesting. But then you're right. Like, it seems like every time Johnny was by herself doing her thing, the movie was something different. Like I said, it feels like it, at its core, wants to be a coming of age film.
Right. Yeah.
You know, maybe it's just analogies and parables about
puberty,
adulthood and puberty and, you know, the terrors you can face as an adult trying to navigate this, you know, dangerous world. And
yeah,
also about staying youthful and wanted, I guess. I don't know, which has nothing to do with her.
Right.
That was just a weird little tidbit of, oh, this is the motivation for something. And I was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause of all that other stuff, where she's like going to school, all that other stuff felt like another movie entirely.
Yeah.
Separate.
It kind of felt like a CW show. Like, all like, I was like, yeah, just watching. Yeah,
her trying to like deal with her powers and then trying to fit in school, and I don't know.
You know what this movie was missing? I felt like true. Genuine daddy issues, which is what Abigail had, and it was excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost seems like there's a simple idea here, right? But it kind of like muddied it up in weird, convoluted ways. Because I would say that she turns 18, Johnny, the character, right? The lead. She turns 18 and then she has this power, and then like the power is kind of like weirdly, it's like, it's almost as like if she's like a super, like a mutant or something, right? Like she's like a weird,
kinda, yeah.
That's right.
Well, there's also that cop-out conversation where Alicia Silverstone is talking about, is this spoiling anything? So she gets this ability, and Alicia Silverstone also has this ability.
Right.
And she's saying, oh, I've lived several different lives. I've been buried alive several times, blah, blah, or twice or whatever. And she's like, oh, well, I did this thing. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, you'll come into your abilities. And she says, what are they? And she's like, I can't tell you that. You just have to figure them out on your own. I'm like, well, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why does she have to understand these things by herself?
Well, because, you know, Lisa Silverstone's only here for another 6 hours before she has to go.
Yeah. We still owe her lunch. She's a meal penalty. She's like... She's the most expensive actor we have on set right now, and we're only paying her $200 a day.
So you're getting paid for this?
Because there's a part towards the end where like an ability happens, and I'm like, what? Yeah. What are the rules?
Yeah.
Is she Freddy Krueger? What is going on?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
And I like how like the abilities happen, and their teeth just get bad. They're not scary looking. They're just like, oh, they're poor English people now. I'm just kidding. But like their teeth just get like jagged and bad. Like, yeah. Okay.
Which
they don't do anything with, by the way. But yeah.
Yeah, she just grows them and then. Yeah. Yeah. I think the problem was that there's not much of a story. It's pretty like nonsensical plot. Like there's not much cohesion from scene to scene about what it is that's going on.
Yeah.
There's no like simple through line. So it's like you have a good actor like Lisa Silverstone comes out, she's gonna immediately draw you in and make you pay attention to her. And even though she's saying over the top silly ridiculous lines, it's still coherent enough to follow. I can't say that for the rest of the movie, though. The rest of the movie is a little like hard to keep track of, or it's just silly and there's with moments of like gore and blood kind of spattered throughout it.
Yeah. And I'm trying to look up like what Jennifer Reeder's also done, but the only other thing maybe I've seen her do is the VHS 94 segments, and I think that movie's trash. I don't know. Yeah, it just didn't feel... It's a great idea. I'll give it at that. Like, I think it's a pretty excellent premise for a movie. I just don't think it was well written. You know, Alicia Silverstone wouldn't have seemed as out of place if the direction was also cohesive with everybody, you know?
Yep.
I don't think the direction was strong enough.
Yeah. I think if you read it, you get a sense of like what the character's supposed to be, which is, I think, what Alicia Silverstone's playing. Yeah. I think she's playing what she's supposed to, but it's like there's no that character that like there's a simple there's like it's hard. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's like a simple way of doing this, right? Like it's like a superhero movie, right? Where like a coming of age gets powers, gets sent away to a mentor. You know, and then has to learn to live with her, deal with her powers, with there being like their first encounter with a bad guy. That's pretty much what this movie is.
Yeah. And I will say the person that ends up being our main antagonist, which you can read pretty easily, made some really strong choices that I thought did not work.
So before we go into spoilers... okay, so the bad guy wears a mask. There's a mask, right? The bad guy wears a mask. But when the bad guy was speaking, I recognized the voice because I'm familiar with that actor.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I was like, oh, that's that actor. Okay, cool. I mean, not that it was difficult to figure out, but
there's also like, oh my God, you're like really suspending disbelief again, right? With some of the just horror movies. I don't know why we keep pretending like it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
But when there's another character that's helping our main antagonist out, gets in an altercation with Johnny at one point, and Johnny's wearing a mask, Johnny's also the only person that has a fro in this entire town.
Who are you?
So I was like, how do you? Yeah, how do you not? Okay,
who's your friend? Yeah.
But what'd you think of Vic Kulogoski? Our little sensitive emo lover boy.
I mean, he was fine.
I was low-key thinking this isn't really a... I don't think it's a spoiler. I was low-key thinking he was going to be a bad guy and have a split personality or something.
Yeah. That would have been plausible.
I believed him when he said he felt... He doesn't understand why every time he dates somebody, they disappear. Which also didn't help that I was like, okay, well, we can figure out who the other bad guy is now.
Why do these girls just keep ODing on me? You know where that's from? No.
No. Breaking Bad.
Boogie Nights. The chick ODs, and the guy is like, why do these girls just keep ODing on me? And the other guy's like, well, maybe she get different shit. Okay.
So they go to Alfred Molina.
Yeah.
He does a dance. Yeah, so what else can we talk about that's not spoiling?
So the underlying mystery is that somebody's... did she go to an... No, she doesn't go to... She goes to like a weird high school, right? Or uniform high school?
Like a preparatory school of some sort?
Yeah.
Because she was in...
uniform.
It sounds like she's getting kicked out of school after school or something, right?
She wasn't even in school. She was like... The movie literally opens with her robbing...
And then when she gets introduced to her preparatory school, because her dad, dad sends her off to Alicia Silverstone.
Mm-hmm.
And Alicia Silverstone's like, you're going to go to my special school.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that makes sense. That makes sense why it seems like there's more people that have weird faces.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's intentional. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just there's a lot of like ideas here that I don't really like. It's hard to, because there's a scene early on where what's her name, Johnny, literally in the beginning, she like breaks into rich people's houses, takes a bunch of stuff, and just trying to pay down a debt of some type to some guy, which never really amounted to anything. That character never came back.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because she needed to pay back the other girls for borrowing the money from them or whatever, or taking the money, and they were supposed to... They do, like, active shooter drills, and the principal takes the shit so serious that they get an actual grade on that.
Yeah.
And they wanted to not be dead because that makes their grade better for whatever fucking reason. I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
But yeah, they gave her money so she could change their grade, and then she didn't end up doing it because she was going to pay off some other day. Yeah, I didn't understand that.
I was just saying, like, literally in the very beginning, she steals a bunch of stuff, goes to a guy for money. She needs money to help with her dad, who isn't like working,
doing well
or something.
And that guy also suggested that they had slept together before, which means that guy would also get locked up for pedophilia, I guess.
On top of the fact that, like, she like steals a dress, keeps it, puts it on, models herself in it in her room privately, and then, like, that never goes anywhere either. Like, what was the point of that?
Yeah.
It's just a weird scene.
That she got punched in the face and her nose started bleeding. I guess that was supposed to be a little fake out to explain why her nose keeps bleeding.
Sure.
But I didn't catch that. I immediately thought, like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. God. I don't want it to sound like I'm trying to shit all over this movie. It's not like there was something there. It's just, I was just questioning everything, and I hate when I do that.
Yeah, same. I just feel like they left a lot of things, like, unfinished, or left it perfectly, like, purposely ambiguous, and just sort of while keeping other things going. It's kind of like when you introduce something, you kind of have to pay it off, right? Like, anytime you...
Yeah.
Like, this drug dealer guy never came back. That's my point, right? He never came back in the rest of the movie. He just was, like, this guy in the beginning that gave her money for stuff, which is weird.
I guess they could have thrown in, I did check to see and there wasn't, they could have thrown in like an in-between credits thing and reintroduce him, but...
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Should we get into spoilers?
Yeah. Okay, let's get into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers!
She's a vampire, witch, mutant, change, skinwalker, something.
Wendigo. What is this?
And her dad is actually her mom. And her dad is actually her principal. That's the part where I was like, no, you shouldn't have done that. That's weak.
Right, yeah.
So it was like very clear from the, like almost... maybe like midway of the movie, you're fairly certain the principal's the person kidnapping people.
Right, yeah.
And then I had an idea that the sensitive kid's dad, who's you find out as a sheriff, I'm like, oh, okay, he's also a bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't a bad guy. He just was... was he a bad guy? He wasn't a bad guy. His dad was.
No, yeah, I'm sorry. Not the sensitive kid, but his dad, yeah, was a bad guy. And his stepmom is the assistant principal. Is that right? Because I didn't understand that. Because there's a whole sequence where the principal is forcing her to look prettier, and it makes it seem like they're going to start dating, and then that's why his dad, the sheriff or whatever, is not talking to his wife. There is a lot of muddy sort of relationship stuff going on there. I didn't understand why it was happening. And then you find out the principal is sucking life force through his anus vagina thing on his chest. So I can see where you're getting Cronenberg. It seems like
that was
Ms. Jennifer here saw Videodrome because we rated it, and she's like, "Oh, I need to watch this."
I gotta keep up with those skeleton boys.
They seem to really resonate with the vagina chest. So, yeah, I don't. That part didn't make sense, and like you find out is his daughter rips it off of his chest. But it's still there. I don't know. So he's another one of these things, is what I'm gathering.
Right. He is, because he has that thing in the face where he's able to, like, switch his.
Yeah.
It's kind of like.
Why was he so weak, and why was he doing this thing to stay young forever and wanted? And
I don't know.
Why was the sheriff involved in this?
I don't know.
And then the way they. So only one of the girls actually dies that was kidnapped. Johnny was able to help everybody out by pulling a Freddy Krueger stunt by sucking the guy into the bed, which was like a hospital gurney, so there wasn't anything underneath it. We know this because one of the girls pulled Johnny underneath it to hide, and they were in a vast array of nothingness full of blood. And I didn't understand the movie past that point.
Yeah. No, it's purposely done very ambiguous. Like.
Yeah. Except for when the mom came in, and I'll be honest, it was like dark. That scene was dark, right? She's like, "Who's this?" And then I was like, "No," because Johnny has a suggested sex scene with another girl. And I was like, wait, did she sleep with her mom? Because I was like, I'd believe it. This movie's doing a lot of weird shit. But it was not the same actress, luckily. I was like, oh, okay, good. It's not her. But she does mention, like, oh, yeah, your dad. I've just been trying to hide from him. I don't know where he's at. And I'm like, don't make the principal the bad guy dad or whatever. Make that, like, a second movie thing, and that's what happened.
Second
and
movie?
And then he wasn't even strong or anything. Like, he just, like... He got fucking bodied pretty hard by Johnny. Like, Johnny fucked him up.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I'm very familiar with Christopher Lowe, who played the principal. Like, I know the actor. So when he started, like, he was wearing the mask and he started like screaming and yelling. I was like, oh yeah, that's Christopher Lowell.
Oh, he started doing his best Nick Cage.
Yeah, I was like, I know exactly what's. Usually they try to mask the voice of the actor, but they didn't.
Yeah. So.
Just wasn't.
Which they even suggested that Johnny was able to change her voice when she was morphing her face too. So I don't know why they just didn't do it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what else to say about it.
I think I had a hard time understanding it. And
yeah, same. I know there's probably some sort of deeper meaning about, again, that's why I'm saying I think at its core it's a coming of age film. But I don't know.
Well, one of the themes that I saw people write about was body autonomy, right? That kind of tracks, yeah. Right? Young people's bodies, yeah, and true.
There's a pregnant woman at one point, and Johnny sleeps with her. And they're throwing away, she's helping that girl throw away the baby, right? Is that, am I wrong in that? Like, that was,
well, she sees it after she sleeps with her. Yeah, this is a weird scene. This is a really weird scene, but
like the baby is just kind of there. It's like she had pulled it out, I guess, at home. I don't know.
At a hard, yeah, I'm so glad we got to this part because, yeah, this character made the least amount of sense for me.
The love interest.
Because,
yeah.
She. And it happens really fast, right? Like, she goes, and Johnny hooks up with her, and they spend the night together. And then she's like brushing her teeth or doing something in the bathroom. And then she sees like a little. What is it? Little box that's supposed to be like the abortion or miscarriage she had that she was gonna bury, and casually is just like, you shouldn't do that alone and stuff.
Well, she also calls it like, oh, it looked like some, what did she say? Something like, oh, it looks like you ate up a bunch of hot Cheetos and threw them back up or something fucked up like that. I was like, okay.
And then she goes on to say like she has a connection to the overall mystery, right? Like she had slept with the sheriff's son, and I was like, but like I had a hard time gathering that because like they like it's cool. I mean, if she was bi, that's fine, but like they didn't really like explain that. She was just like, oh, I wanted to sleep with him because he was attractive and he was coming out to me, and so I slept with him, and then I had this miscarriage. Oh, and then,
well, she said I just wanted to try it once, but dick's not for me.
Yeah. But what's the,
and then I got pregnant,
which is fine, which is cool. But like then Johnny's kind of like in the same boat, right? She's kind of like the same way too, right? She's bi.
I think she's, yeah, she's probably bi. I think she's settled on women.
Yeah,
but then they have that awkward scene where, oh, well, I guess she can't tell the sheriff's son what she's doing. That just occurred to me. I don't know why I thought they were all in a
together. He was.
Oh, he was. He was. Okay. Oh, yes, because they cornered him.
Yeah.
I just thought the conversation was kind of weird. I'm like, why is this conversation happening like this? Just, you know what you're here for.
Yeah, all that stuff was like, could have been done more neater. Like, I have no issues with what happened, but it could have been like, done cleanly, more cleanly, more,
a little more clever or something. Yeah, or,
yeah, clear even, like about.
Because then when his dad showed up randomly, because that's when the big reveal that his dad is a sheriff, which is like, this doesn't need to be a big reveal, but okay.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this isn't your usual spot. And I'm like, what? That's weird.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why is everybody so weird? Everybody's so incestual in this fucking movie.
Exactly. Okay, I don't think I have anything else to say about this movie. What about you?
Okay.
I don't know what else to say, but okay, do you want to rate it?
Yes.
John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Perpetrator Damn, I don't know. I'm actually having trouble here.
Don't put 4.
4.8 sexy spooky bones. It's almost middle of the ground for me. It's just not. There's something there. It's just, I don't know. It didn't resonate with me, I guess. I don't know.
Right, yeah. I think I'll go just a little lower. Not lower. 5. I was going to do it at 5. I think it's just middle of the road. Middle of the road movie.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, not much else was taken from it. I think I understood it.
No.
Yeah.
Lisa Silverstone was fantastic.
Lisa Silverstone was fantastic. One of the reasons why I wanted to watch it. I saw her in the trailer. I was like, oh my God, Lisa Silverstone. So.
She was Batgirl.
And her acting hasn't gotten any better. So that's it. No, I kid. Lisa Silverstone. Icon. All right. All right, guys, not binary pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky. We love you, Lisa Silverstone.